Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Six games in the National Hockey League coming up on this Friday. Three of them on Sportsnet. Calgary, Columbus on Sportsnet West. Detroit, Toronto on Sportsnet Ontario. And later on tonight, Sportsnet Pacific, Canucks, West, and Oilers, Vancouver against Edmonton. And won't that be an interesting game in the first period tonight to see how the Oilers respond, starting off a seven-game homespan. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. As we wrap up the week, Darren Millard along with Gord Stellick, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Scott Morrison from the NHL on Sportsnet.
And former general manager of the Willowdale Blackhawks.
Okay, I forgot about that. You were also the treasurer of the baseball team, too, weren't you?
Exactly.
Okay. Last night featured, congratulations to the New York Islanders, 4-0 to start the season, just the third time in franchise history. But you would have thought, from the New York Rangers' perspective, that they had reached another Stanley Cup final by Henrik Lundqvist, the way he reacted in the shootout, and that's against the Carolina team. So I don't think you can necessarily say that the Rangers are on track. But what the emotional game of the night was Montreal and Boston, and some news coming out regarding Milan Lucic.
Yeah, fined $5,000 for an inappropriate gesture, shall we say, towards the fans when he was leaving the rink. He got a penalty late in the game and a misconduct, and was not very pleased with anything at that point, and certainly not pleased with the Bell Center crowd, and let them see something he shouldn't have done. And that's the max fine.
Yeah. Unless they hold a hearing, right?
Unless they do a hearing, then they can take it up. But it's under the circumstance, that's probably the appropriate way for an inappropriate gesture.
Montreal comes off the disappointing effort, the result against Tampa Bay, which stopped their winning streak to kick off this season. And then they come back at home and against the Boston Bruins, there's some kind of magic there, head-to-head.
Yeah, now, why'd they start the season on the road anyway, so many games? That was, you know, that's a bit unusual. You could have got behind the eight ball, and you're right, in the sense they come at home, and that was one of those, it's great. It had some bite to it. We tend to overhype games early in the season sometimes, but this had a lot of well-deserved hype. And the Boston Bruins and Milan Lucic, I'm sure the message he wanted to do was not a gesture to the fans, but a win and kind of that smile, kind of like the big bully smile winning it. And boy, the Montreal Canadiens, and that's probably where we'll go to the New York Ranger point of view. You're trying to pick up from last year. Rangers haven't so far. Montreal has picked up from a team that surprised everyone and made the conference finals and then wins the biggie at home and the building was rocking.
Well, and that loss to Tampa, in fairness to the Canadiens, it was four games and six nights on the road and Tampa was just humming. I mean, Stamkos and Hedman were really on top of the game and blew it open in that third period. But the storyline going into that Boston is, you've got a great rivalry, and I don't think it's Toronto-Montreal anymore, by the way. I think it's Boston-Montreal is the rivalry for Canadians now. They're coming off the playoff series. They're coming off Handshake Alley, where Lucic has the quote-unquote threats for Yemelin and Weiss. And so you got that going into the game. And, you know, from Boston's perspective, and I think the frustration for Lucic after that game is he came in without a point, minus one. He got an assist, I think, on the first goal. But, you know, they played better the night before against Detroit, but they've not been a good team this season so far. And so I think all of that on top of losing in Montreal against your hated rival really got the better of him in the end.
Some news from the Edmonton Oilers. Darnell Nurse, per Elliot Friedman, has been returned to the OHL. Probably the best decision for him right now, given where he was on the depth chart and also what they're going through as a franchise.
Elliot Friedman staying, though, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Good to know. You look back and having been with a team that wasn't a very good team, and Scott was covering them, I'm talking the Leafs, many years ago, but you injected, the worst thing is to inject underage kids because you're rushing to get them into the NHL to help you, but also you're subjecting them to a terrible environment to really develop in the National Hockey League. And that's why I thought, you know, last year, like Monahan in Calgary was legit, for example. I mean, that was a guy that was playing at the NHL level, was a good fit as far as growing with the team. And in this case, I think it's important that, yeah, you it's not a good environment now. Get the guy play junior, develop, and hopefully come, well, it can't be a much worse environment than it is right now, come to a somewhat better environment to Edmonton next season.
I wonder if he becomes the big OHL trade piece now. Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, possibly.
Toronto Maple Leafs return to action tonight. They've produced a couple of victories. James Reimer has stepped in and done a great job for them. He will go back in goal tonight to start a home-and-home series against the Detroit Red Wings. And should remind you that the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Kenny Holland, is going to stop by in about 25 minutes coming off the morning skate. So Reimer is in, and so is Jake Gardner. We're so accustomed to coaches not changing a winning lineup. Are you at all surprised that Gardner draws back in?
To a certain degree, because I think Carlisle is one of those coaches who sticks to winning lineups and doesn't like to make those changes. We don't know yet officially who is going out, although Stefan Robidas has certainly indicated that he wouldn't be surprised if he was the choice. And he has struggled somewhat, but in fairness, only had the one exhibition game, coming off two broken legs last season and all of that. With back-to-back games this weekend, it would probably make sense that he might take one of those off. But I think there's a bigger fear that you don't want... I mean, we know what it's like, the attention this team gets in the city. Every day, conversation about Jake Gardner, the fear of him sitting too many days without playing a game. I think it's, you know, getting him back, you only accomplish so much in practice to begin with. You're not going to become a better player just by practicing every day. You've got to get on the ice and play. And I think the combination of all those factors, push their hand to get him back in.
But I look at this as a bit of a, say, massage or what you want to call it with Randy Carlisle, in that, you know, you had it after four games. What are the same issues? Okay, a goaltending controversy. Now, that's a stretch, but I mean, like last year, Jake Gardner.
You got a guy playing well. That's a controversy.
You know, whatever. The fourth line really still not being used, which is the other thing. They've changed the makeup, but is it going to get more ice time as we go along? So in putting Jake Gardner back in the lineup, it would have been easy to sit him out. He's looking, okay, they've signed him to a long-term contract. He's a piece of the puzzle here. To Randy's credit, he didn't pull Stuart Percy out because the guy's playing well. So instead of pulling another young guy out for a young guy, and I think, Scott, what you said is Stefan Robidas almost seemed to volunteer, offer it up, that coming back from two broken legs and, you know, back-to-back games, and I wouldn't be surprised if I'm a healthy scratch at some point, to kind of make it publicly okay, massage it, and Randy putting Jake back in.
Toronto will try to sweep the Detroit Red Wings in this home-and-home and keep their winning streak going. Toronto with a 2-2 record going into this one. The Detroit Red Wings have jumped out to a 1-1-1 record. I'll be interested to get Kenny Holland's thoughts just on what he sees this team being this year. There's a certain segment of the hockey world that really believes that the Detroit Red Wings are entering a transition stage. And trying to make the playoffs for a 24th straight year is going to be a challenge. But maybe they might have to take a step back over the next couple of years. They still have a great goaltender. They have some great young talent coming up. They got to get healthy. We don't know about Daniel Alfredson, but there are certain indicators there that may be the case.
Well, the Leafs helped them, or the Red Wings helped themselves last year, because as the Leafs were slip-sliding away out of the playoffs, they lost two critical games to really the Grand Rapids team, because the Red Wings were decimated by injuries. Guys like Gustav Nyquist came up and really established themselves as preeminent NHL players. He's doing it again this season. And so in a lot of ways, let's face it, when you don't have a Lidstrom and all these other guys you've lost, that there is a retooling that has to go on. But to be able to do it and not go to the bottom of the pack is something remarkable, because you see all the other solid teams have picked up a first or second or third pick overall. I mean, the Bruins did get one in Sagan via trade from the Maple Leafs. But in Detroit's case, you look at it as far as last year, they looked like they were going to be out of the playoffs. And those wins against the Maple Leafs in a lot of ways were why, you know, they ended up being in and the Maple Leafs ended up being out. But it's still a lot more work to be determined.
Well, and it speaks, being able to retool and not bottom out speaks to how good they were and how deep in talent they were for so many years, and developing players and not having to rush their young guys. And now you get the Nyquist and the Tatars and the players like that who are NHL ready. And able to step up and come in and have an impact right out of the gate. So maybe there will be a step back. I don't think it's going to be a huge one for them to retool.
But you don't have Datsyuk and Zetterberg as your second line, basically. Like the Vancouver had the Sedins as a second line for so many years, that when your Steve Yzermans of the world move on, you plunk those guys up. I mean, that happens very seldom, and that's not happening right now.
You do the Leafs pre- and post-game show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Gort Stelica, along with Mark Osborne. What do you get and draw from this Maple Leaf roster as their identity entering Game 5?
You know, it's funny. I was talking about the word that's kind of been buried as the Brian Burke word, truculence. Okay, so I don't want to dig it up, but the game against Colorado, you saw Leo Komarov provide that. You saw David Clarkson now being an effective player after four games. So they needed something else to go with a big line and great goaltending, which is the only ways they won last year. 2 years ago, McLaren and Orr would try to beat the crap out of someone every game, and it worked, and they serviced a role. And last year, they were a bit like dinosaurs. It wasn't being used anymore, so they've changed
the
makeup.
Nobody would fight them.
Yeah, nobody would fight. So now they've changed them, and there's a physicality that I'm not saying it's their identity yet, but they're trying to make it part of their identity because they need something like that at the compete level, and that's what they did the last two games.
You saw that in the two wins, but the two losses, it was a very different team, and that's why I can't – if you look at it as a collective performance – I have trouble coming up with a true character word for what this group is.
Their two losses, their best line was horrible. And they were a huge minus, I think, on both nights. And the two wins, their best line was really, really good. They got some support from the second line. And to your point, that third line was crashing and banging and being very effective that way and creating forechecks and time in the opposition zone. At the end of the day, if the big guys aren't going, this team is going to struggle. I don't see a lot of support there. You mentioned about the fourth line. I'm sick about hearing about their minutes already in the season. You judge those fourth line minutes over 80 games, not over five or four. But they're going to need to get some – the supporting cast is going to have to be better. I mean, can Daniel Winnick be your second line winger? That's a question you look at when you look at the composition of that line. He's been a hard worker on that line, but – I still think they rely on three guys to really stir that drink night after night after night.
But that's why you're right in that I think every team, you need some kind of identity. You've got to have some kind of identity. At least to me, granted, always when you win, that identity shows in a much more positive way. But with the Maple Leafs, I just think that's an element, that physicality. And Carlisle likes that style. I mean, that's always been his style as well, that I think they can bring to the mix. Doesn't mean you always have to score goals. You can at least contribute that way.
Well, and then I think the nice thing for them in that Colorado win is they kept the shots down, finally. So now Colorado's struggling in so many ways, but at least they were able to keep shots down, and that's a goal for this team this year.
And the Avalanche continued to struggle into Ottawa last night, had a lead and let it get away. And early on, there's surprises around the National Hockey League of teams being able to step up and win. Nashville hasn't suffered a regulation loss. The Ottawa Senators are 3-1. And that's a team that's gone over multiple transitions in the last 3 years, from leadership down to a coach growing and a blue line that's sort of in this, who's really... No, Eric Karlsson's great, but then the rest of it, it's Jerry Cowan's out of the lineup, Chris Phillips, who knows how many years he's got left, but he's long in the tooth. But it's been impressive from Ottawa.
Well, really impressive, and they're the team that for 2 years, nothing was expected, so they were a pleasant surprise, and then last year, more was expected. They didn't deliver, and that's the same this year. And I do think in a lot of ways that you look at last year's offseason, and we were covering the free agent frenzy. And Brian Murray seemed about the only guy surprised that Daniel Alfredsson was leaving. He was educating the media about irresponsible reporting, and then the next day he was, you know, basically owning up that it caught him by surprise. This year, they articulated well the Jason Spezza position, both in trying to make a trade and also publicly, that you're not going to get full value back, but it was a necessary move to make. And then I was really surprised that Bobby Ryan re-upped, very pleasantly surprised. I thought, given the nature of the talks we heard, that he was going to be the best unrestricted free agent out there next year. So when a guy like that commits to the program, that's huge. I mean, that takes away one distraction, but also shows if he's buying in, I think it helps everybody else buy in.
And I think there's a sense that identity that they had of a couple of seasons or two seasons ago when they surprised everybody of this hardworking, relentless type of team, it's come back a little bit. Maybe last year was a lesson learned. But last night against Colorado, it was Bobby Ryan. It was Clark MacArthur, who's been real good for the Senators, and Kyle Turris, who looks like a real good fit as perhaps a number one center. that got it going for them in the third period.
Goaltenders have been great too.
Yeah.
And both.
Always the way, right?
But rarely over the last 3 years have both been going. It's usually one guy falls off, the other guy steps in. But right now it's a win-win.
So is it a controversy there?
No, I would say no just because of identical three-year contracts. But
no,
you're right. It does tend to play out differently depending on what city you're in, i.e. Toronto. Or in Edmonton, where nobody can get in the way of a puck. John Scott, I think, is having a career week, and that's obviously tongue in cheek and maybe a bit unfair to him. But he scored the goal against Braden Holtby and the Washington Capitals to win again for the San Jose Sharks, and then goes out last night and runs over Mikhail Grabowski. And for those that remember the hit that Chara laid on Grabowski, and he was able to stay in the game. Grabowski left for a bit last night, and that's saying something when he's knocked out when you compare it to the Chara hit. But it was a clean hit. I thought it was a clean hit.
It was a big man hitting a smaller man, and he hit him hard. I thought it was fine.
Well, the smaller man had his head down too, didn't he? Does he remember
he
now?
He didn't see him coming.
Does he remember now he wants his first name pronounced differently? Does Grabowski, I don't know what, but it's, yeah. And you know, it's funny. Someone was just talking about a poll out there that soccer referees – this whole thing about 10 to if two guys collide and they're unsure, give the penalty to the tall guy, you know, and it's a natural instinct that way. Same thing. Well, you see kids hockey, they go crazy.
Same
if there's
thing.
A size disparity, even if it's a totally clean hit. And this one too, hey, you know, John Scott was a nice finish in the check and Grabowski had his head down.
I noticed nobody went after John Scott after.
Well, Kessel wasn't there.
The Islanders came back and won the game though. The Islanders are undefeated this year. Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy, do they mean that much to an Islander team that was on the fringe at the start of September in a lot of people's minds, but right now is playing great hockey, getting goaltending, but I think jumped up in the legitimate challenger category significantly?
Well, and John Tavares, four multi-point games. Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant, and the shootout winner last night was just absolutely a stunning goal. I think there's a lot of factors that they shored up their goaltending. They made two bold moves on the blue line just before the season starts to really improve themselves there. And Boychuk has been terrific for them, obviously. And they went out and spent some money in the offseason and got better up front as well. So I think credit to Gar Snow is he identified weaknesses and went out and tried to fix them or at least improve on what he had.
Well, but very quietly, they have new owners, right?
Yeah.
So Charles Wong's gone. And Dan Boyle, they tried to woo him big time. He wouldn't come there, so
he took less to go to the Rangers.
Exactly. So then you see when new owners come in, there's no coincidence that those guys back to back. You get two players like that added, so that's instant credibility. And then, I mean, 1 year it's a Nielsen, this year it's a Nelson, right? Brock Nelson, yeah. The guy, the big surprise everybody wishes they took in their hockey pool. Maybe they'll get Ulf Nielsen next year. I don't know, whatever. But just that develops all the other guys. So I think it's a combination. By finishing poorly, they've had these guys, Okposo and you name it, beyond Tavares, Josh Bailey, that you're expecting to blossom. But you got to give them the tools and the supporting cast to do it, and they've done that.
Well, and the other thing, it's the last year on the island. They're trying to build, you know, they want to win, period. But now they got the resources or more resources to try and do it, but they want to build momentum moving into Brooklyn, and they don't have a first pick. Be a bad year to be wallowing down in the last.
You think? I think they only have two picks overall going into next year.
But that first pick, if he becomes a distraction,
you don't want that one hanging over your head.
The bottom.
Oilers fans right now are thinking, where were we when Boychuk and Leddy were being shopped? I mean, those two themselves, the Islanders can grab both and not really give up a significant.
No, but they had cap room. That's the whole difference. There's so many teams that are starting and trying to do what Boston and Chicago were trying
Edmonton
to do.
Edmonton should be able to make it work.
I would think, but I mean, the one thing good about the Charles Wong era was you knew you had cap room coming in, and that's the easiest way to do it.
Just a tweet coming in to at Darren Millard. Why not start Jake Gardner as a third or fourth line forward once in a while instead of sitting him out completely?
You know, he can play half decent at forward, but I find those – to me, always somewhat desperate measures, unless it's a Dustin Byfuglien or Brent Burns, like somebody with a defined role that way. Otherwise, he's supposed to be one of your stud defensemen. He's supposed to be a quarterback for your team. And I think when you start doing that, you're putting doubt in. Can he do it with him, the fans, everybody? I don't like the 7D at all. Get a fourth line going and give him minutes. And Let Jake play defense.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a surrender when you do that. You've got to put him in and allow himself to, whatever he wasn't doing, the coaching staff wasn't happy about, allow him to establish himself and make him be able to play on a regular basis.
So what does he go in and do tonight? It's Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and Scott Morrison here at Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet and worldwide on sportsnet.ca.
To quote Randy Carlyle,
yeah,
play better.
Okay, what does that mean?
I don't know.
He's got to be better than just okay.
Like okay.
James, he just, no.
Two beauties?
You know what?
Both there, quotes by Randy.
There was a choice he could have made of a few guys after the first two games about who sit, or after the first game about who sits out. And in a way, you look at it, he doesn't want the new guys, Pollock and Robitaille so far. And so, you know, Jake and Morgan Rielly had a tough time, you know, coughing the puck up in that game against Pittsburgh and that. So, or in that game. So I'm looking at it that Jake Gardner just go in. You got the contract now. So it's not like before you had the controversy that, I mean, the guy was playing in the NHL, goes, plays in the American League because of the lockout, gets hurt. And then he comes back and it's like he was the NHL all rookie team. And it seemed like Randy Carlyle wanted him to prove himself again. So it's a different scenario this time. And he's just got to go out and play his game and more positives than negatives. It's that simple.
I think it's just being smarter with the puck, not being caught off ice.
Johnny Gaudreau sounds like he's going to be a healthy scratch tonight for the Calgary Flames for the first time this season. He didn't get a lot of ice time against the Blackhawks the other night. That was played out because of being shorthanded so much the first half of the game. But when he was out there, he did get some things going. Is it justified to sit him out? Are you okay to sit him out at this stage?
Well, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's okay. That's the big question.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I am. The part, and even last year, you go back to Toronto, Morgan Rielly had a lot of games that he was a healthy scratch, maybe a bit too many. And that's exactly where, particularly with younger players, to me, you want to keep them in the mix. That's all it's about, that you have to be. Otherwise, they should be playing somewhere else, getting serious minutes and doing it all over the place. So, but from time to time, if they're in the queue to sit out and be a healthy scratch, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, you often hear coaches say sometimes you need a step back to make that step forward. And sometimes it's just sit out a game, sit up top, watch it, see things, get a little perspective. The coaches will talk to them about elements of the game, and that allows them to come back with a different perspective.
Calgary playing game five of their six-game road trip after opening up the season at home against Vancouver. They are in Columbus tonight trying to go to a 4-1 on this junket. When we continue, Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and Scott Morrison, we will chat with General Manager Ken Holland from the Detroit Red Wings. Not on the phone. He's going to join us in studio for about 25 minutes, chatting about his hockey club. There's obvious questions out there. Babcock, Alfredson, and where is this team in the whole ascent? Are they flatlining? Are they in a transition? Are they still on the rise? It's Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast in the United States on the NHL Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca and your Rogers radio app. And if you're in the United States, catch us on the NHL Network. Darren Millard along with Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison. The general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ken Holland, will join us in just a moment, just coming up.
And that's why I move closer to you, yeah. Just so you have people watching.
So an interesting tweet before Kitty comes in from Helene St. James, Detroit media. Said, interesting, Babcock post-morning skate presser began with Wings PR guy saying, Babcock not answering questions about his coaching future. So there you go.
Wonder if Kenny will. Tonight we have Toronto against Detroit on Sportsnet Ontario. Pregame show at 7 o'clock. Puck drops just after 7:30. Damian Cox along with Darren Millard and Nick Kiprios. And then we slide over to Calgary, Columbus on Sportsnet West and Vancouver, Edmonton on Pacific Canucks, West and Oilers. So the Sportsnet channel is full of hockey tonight. The Colorado Avalanche get a day off before going into Montreal tomorrow. Patrick Waugh, always a big story there, but maybe overshadowed slightly because of what's going on with Colorado's goaltending. They weren't off to a great start already, and now they're in a bit of a hole.
Well, Varlamov was put on the IR yesterday, I believe, with a groin issue. I don't think it's a significant injury because he was still skating, and I think it was just precautionary. But nonetheless, they felt that they had to take him out of the lineup, and they called up Picard from their minors. And then last night in the Ottawa game, Rito Berra gets run over early in that game and has to leave. His head snapped back as he went into the crease, thrown into the net, rather. So all of a sudden, they've got themselves a goaltending issue based on injury.
And last year, with all the positives that went on, one thing that was a little bit under the radar was Varlamov. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was they gave up, a first-round pick to get him. And it could have been a horrible first-round pick. It was turned out to be not a bad trade, and he was quietly one of the best goaltending stories.
Well, exactly, and that's the whole thing, is that they're one of those teams that the numbers crunchers say they give up too many shots, and they survived mostly because of great goaltending. Well, now you're three deep on your goaltending chart.
Hockey Central, three stars, Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and Scott Morrison. I will go first, and John Tavares of the New York Islanders, not just because they're 4-0, not just because they've gotten...
You always go first.
You know why?
No.
Because I'm the first one in with the pick when they send out the note, who are your three stars, and I'm the host. I'm already talking.
What time did you send the pick in?
I sent it in last night at about 10:15. Tavares with a multi-point game, and that's a multi-point game in the first four games of the year, which has only happened a couple of times in the Islanders franchise history. Go ahead, Scott.
Who's second?
Gord. Sorry.
Am I second? Do you think any star didn't have a multi-point game? I mean, would someone pick a star who didn't have a multi-point game? I'll take Brendan Gallagher, also multi-point game, since that's part of the criteria. I thought that was the game with the biggest jam. It had some residue left over from the playoffs. And you know something? You know, P.K. Subban became a meteoric guy on the scene, but they had that losing season with him in the lineup as well. And they went deep in the draft, or got to pick high. And then this kid Gallagher, who they'd picked much later, was a play. They've been winning with him in the lineup. And a game like last night was a perfect example about a big win. He's the guy who comes up with two goals and an assist.
Well, my star didn't have a multi-point game, if you must know, but he had a fantastic game. Jonathan Quick, 43 saves in regulation and overtime against the St. Louis Blues, and then perfect in the shootout, 3-for-3, a 1-0 victory over St. Louis. The Blues, as I say, outshooting them 43-18. Brian Elliott was very good as well. He just didn't have the volume of shots, but Jonathan Quick, after what they said was a night off a couple of nights earlier against Edmonton, had a very busy night last night and was outstanding.
Come back in studio, Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and Scott Morrison, joined just magically by Kenny Holland of the Detroit Red Wings. Brian Elliott doesn't get a loss. He gets a shutout, but they lose the game. You wish they had that when you played? You lose, you get a shutout, and
goals against the average is zero.
Zero?
You got an L? Yeah, and it seems funny, but it that's the way it goes.
Hey, another shootout last night.
Yeah, I think there's lots of. I hear they think there's more now than there was this time last year. So it's I think the long change. I find, you know, we played Boston the other night. We lost the draw off the faceoff. They got into our zone. They can make changes on the fly, and we sort of got people stuck on the ice. So the long change, I think, has certainly made a big. It's hard to get people off the ice in overtime 4-on-4 because you start getting into your zone and. Their bench is right there, and they can have the puck and make a quick change and start to get fresh legs out. So hopefully, I think it's a small sample size. Hopefully here over time, it has an impact. More games are decided in overtime.
You're not going to give up on the 3-on-3 thing, though, are you?
No, I got to wait. I like 3-on-3, but
so do I.
I think obviously they're trying it in the American League.
And have you seen much traction on that?
No. I haven't seen, you know, we have a rookie tournament in Traverse City. We used the American mm-hmm. League formula, and I think seven games went to extra time, and I think six were decided in
you're right.
overtime, and I think one went to a shootout. But again, it's a small sample size, and, you know, the best test is at the NHL level. But, you know, again, we're a week into the season. I think to race to conclusion, it's a bit early. So hopefully as we go along here... Again, I think the big, you know, I was one of the guys that was a push on dry scrape to get better ice. And that was sort of something that I'd got in talking to Nick Lidstrom and Brian Rafalski when they played on our team. They thought when we went to overtime, the ice wasn't as good and it sort of slowed the game down. So sort of stuck in my head from that point forward, if we could ever get better ice in overtime, it might have an impact. And then the long change. So it's a small sample size. There's a long way to go.
I never understood why the NHL would scrape for one guy, but leave bad ice for eight guys out there.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is the timing. You know, I think that, you know, I thought the other night we played Boston, I thought our two guys did a great job. They put 4:30 on the clock, and before the 4:30 was over, the doors were shut, the Zambonis were off the ice, and I would think in about 4.5 minutes we had the puck dropped and we went to overtime. I think in preseason we had one night in Chicago, we had one other night. There was, I think the people were still trying to figure it out. It was about a 6 minute, it's too long. I mean, one of the things that we had talked about the managers meeting, if we could get, you know, when the game ends, if we can get, you know, 4 minutes to 4:30 and get the game back going, it keeps the fans involved in the game. If you start to get 6 and 7 minute breaks, it's too long. So we're monitoring that as we go as well.
A lot of things, a bit of a softball question, but they're saying Mike Babcock wouldn't talk about his coaching situation today in the press conference this morning. And
that's good.
Toronto is abuzz about that, as they always are, and it's going to be an intriguing, maybe distracting story throughout the year. So what's the Red Wings' official position on that?
Well, they would just, you know, Mike and I talked prior to the season, and, you know, obviously in the world today, you know, it's the same questions over and over again. I think we're best served not to talk about it. Certainly he's in the last year of his contract. Everybody knows that. And, you know, whether we do talk or whether we don't talk, we're not going to say, oh, we had a conversation last night. Then the watch starts. So, you know, I travel with the team for most of the road games. You know, I'm at the rink. You know, Mike and I have got a great relationship that goes back to 05. You know, so...
But did you ever get to the point where you exchanged numbers on either dollars or term?
Well, I think, going back to the summertime, so we had some conversations. Obviously, we couldn't find a solution, so, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but I am talking about it. I'm hoping to find a solution, but we're not going to have we don't want an ongoing watch.
But you know, it's going to chase you around.
I think it's going to chase us more, certainly in Toronto. I mean, we're sitting here at a studio. They don't have one of these in every city we go to. So, you know, I think that, it's early in the season. We're playing the Leafs home and home, and, he's news. You know, he won two gold medals, and we've had a lot of success under Mike, and he's an unrestricted free agent. It's no different probably than if a top-notch player was going into last year of the contract. It's news, and you need news to talk about.
Do you like the fact that we put the studio right beside your hotel so you can just pop over?
Yeah, it's handy. Yeah.
What do you think of the look?
No, it's a fabulous. I mean, I've never, first time I've been in here, it's really an incredible setup, so... I watched last weekend. It's a fabulous job.
23 years, straight years in the playoffs. Where do you see your team this year? Are you in a transition in any way? Or?
Well, without a doubt. I think, you know, I think the transition really started probably when Nick Lidstrom retired. At that time in the back end. And within a two-year period, we lost Brad Stewart, Nick Lidstrom, and Brian Rafalski. You know, in the meantime, you know, Brendan Smith was a first-round pick. He's really, in our minds, coming of age at the age of 25. We signed Dan DeKeyser, a free agent out of Western Michigan, had a real nice rookie year last year. We've gone to more young players. Coming out of 05, as we went into a work stoppage, prior to 05, we traded, I think, 7 first-round draft picks over the previous 8 or 9 years to acquire guys like Shanahan and Hasek and Chelios and Robert Lang, Matthew Schneider. So we got more conservative because it's a draft pick league. So we're trying to compete for a playoff spot. At the same time, we're trying to transition younger people onto our roster that we think will be a part of us being a playoff team going forward. Now we got to watch to see how it works out. But certainly there are no quick fixes. You got to draft. You got to develop. We don't draft very high. We don't draft those players. We haven't had a top 10 pick since, I think, 1993 and a top 5 pick since 1991. We draft players that we think can be NHL players, but we got to leave them in junior. We got to leave them in college. We got to put them in the American League for 2 or 3 years. You know, so from the time we draft them, it's probably, for the most part, it's 4 or 5 years, 6 years before they really get to Detroit to have any kind of an impact. We're sort of in a transition, but I think that's probably the way of running an NHL team today is slowly trying to put younger people onto your roster.
I think it's a statement accurate. A few years ago, you said about Nick Lidstrom, you knew was going to happen. Ryan Rafalski caught you by surprise. And there's only so many pieces you can lose in a short period of time. And that one was one that you weren't ready for.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Rafi had a year to go on his contract and walked in and decided that he wanted to retire. Without a doubt. I mean, when you get that news, you're shocked. I mean, he won he was the most valuable defenseman in the Olympics in Vancouver in 2010. And 2 years later, he's gone. So, and defense is it's hard to play in the NHL. In order to help your team win, it's a great league. And, I use the word, it's a man's league, and lots of people can play in the league, but you're trying to win. You're trying to compete for a playoff spot. You're trying to compete to win a playoff round. You're trying to compete to go. And certainly that's what we were able to do for a long stretch in Detroit. And we had a lot of older players and veteran players. And you think our 0-2 team was an old team. But again, we're trying to transition. Once you can get some of those players onto your roster, they can carry you for 10, 12, 14, 15 years. And if you happen to get some superstars like we had with Nick Lidstrom and Steve Yzerman, it's 18, 20, 21, 22 years that they're really carrying your franchise. So, we don't have those superstars coming. We think we've got lots of good players. We think we've got some young players that are going to be around for a while on our team in Detroit now. But we also think we've got some younger players in Grand Rapids and in our system that need time, but they can work their way up into Detroit.
Ken Holland is with us. His Detroit Red Wings face the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, 7:30 at Air Canada Centre. Pregame show, Hockey Central, at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet Ontario. And then tomorrow night, the back half of the home-and-home on Hockey Night in Canada. Darren Millard along with Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison. You were with Brendan Shanahan, I saw today, having a conversation at ACC at the Morning Skate. It's tough for you to go to a visiting building, and not speak to somebody who worked or played for you, is now in management. There was a great piece in Sportsnet magazine that showed sort of you at the top and then a graph, almost like a family tree. Do you get tired grooming people for other teams?
No, I mean, I was so lucky to work with, off the ice and on the ice, so many great players. I was really lucky. I became a general manager in the league in 1997 of a Stanley Cup champion team. And behind the scenes, obviously, had been with the Red Wings since 85, working in the draft. More, usually when you get your first opportunity to be a manager, the team's at the bottom, and you've got to go through that process. I got to become a manager when Yzerman was in his prime, and Lidstrom was in his prime, and Shanahan was in his prime, and we had the Russian Five, and then we slipped a touch, we missed lost in the first round in 01, and then we went out, we brought in Hasek and Luke Robitaille. So I got the opportunity to work with, Scotty Bowman and Jim Devolano. For me, it was like going to Harvard to work with those guys in the office every day. They had been in the league 25, 30 years and had won Stanley Cups. So it really is amazing when you look, when you think now of all the people that have kind of come through our organization and they've gone on to, Shanny's running the Leafs and Steve Yzerman's running Tampa Bay and Jim Neal's running Dallas.
Well, Bill Peters, Todd McClellan,
Bill Peters,
coaches.
Mike Babcock deserves a ton of credit in bringing those people in, but certainly it's been fun, and we're grinding away, and we're trying to make the playoffs for a 24th straight year in a row. But it's certainly it's a lot of fun and
tough competing against yourself and all those other cities.
But part of the reason we've been in the playoffs 23 straight years in a row is those people. They certainly the players on the ice have done it. They did it on the ice and they've, they had passion. They were good players, great players, Hall of Fame players with a lot of passion. They've taken that passion when their game retired into the front office, and it's probably a big part of the reason why we were able to accomplish whatever we did.
And Ken, of course, Paul McLean, another guy, Coach of the Year that came. But the guy you mentioned, Shanahan, and part of why the Babcock talk is going on in Toronto, and I'm wondering what you thought about Brendan. You wonder about, like, Jimmy Benning's a guy I was surprised as a kid that has ended up, and deservedly so, in Vancouver, but guys that end up taking that career path. Did you always see that Brendan Shanahan, this was the kind of post-playing career thing he was ticketed for?
Yeah, I think especially during 05, during the work stoppage, when he was able to kind of rally people from different from both sides to have the Shanahan conference,
yeah.
To find ways to make to improve our game. You know, Shanny, he wants the game to be better. He's a thinker, has a lot of passion for the game, and then I thought a great hire for the league, and I talked to him a few times in the league, and I know that we were actually talking about it today. When you're working for a team, those wins and the losses, the juice is flowing on game day. You know, there's a big game tonight, Detroit, Toronto. Certainly he was able to learn a lot of things at the league. Certainly when you play, I know they sit in the locker room and at times decisions are made and you wonder, what are those guys doing up there making those decisions? Why do they make those decisions? And I think when you come to the other, and you're in an office every day and we look at things, maybe a little bit differently than players, like a lot like a coach. They think about today and today only. How do we win the game tonight? And sometimes there has to be some thinking and some decisions made that are going to factor out, 20 games a year, 2 years. So, I think then again, like I said, I talked to Shanny when he was with the league, and I know that he was, he loved working for the league, but was looking forward to an opportunity to work for a team and have that, like I said, the juice is flowing on a day-to-day basis where you're revved up and it's a huge game tonight and you're down after a loss, you're a little up after a win, and you wake up the next day and away you go. It's a great feeling.
3 minutes, Scotty.
It's interesting that quote-unquote generation of player, where you think of an Yzerman and a Shanahan and a Sakic, and now you see Pronger's gone to the league, Rob Blake's gone to a team, that generation has all gone that management route.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, when a few people do it and have success, it gets other mm-hmm. people thinking about it. And I think that, you're talking about, and I also think there's more teams, there's more opportunities. Probably there was, you go back 40 years, there were six teams. I mean, there wasn't a lot of opportunity. You had people in their positions for 20, 30, 35, 40 years. So there's more, with 30 teams, there's more opportunities to stay in the game.
When do you look at your analytics report before tonight's game?
I watch you guys on TV with the analytics.
Do you get a daily report or a weekly report any type of?
When we want to make this, we're just sort of, we're just sort of getting into it. I was actually, Shanny and I were sitting there this morning. That's one of the things we were talking about, was a little bit about analytics. And I think it's a hard sport just to decide that analytics is going to make your decision. I think analytics is a great tool to create more conversation and different perspective to look at things. And you think you're going to do something, and the analytics either agrees with you or doesn't agree with you. And if it doesn't agree with you, it creates, why doesn't it agree with it agree with us? And I think as we go along, I think analytics is probably going to have a little bigger, as we fine tune and we get more information and there's more, angles and information. But I've always made decisions. I think, I'd like to think I'm a numbers guy. It's been sort of based upon numbers, but it's been, we need 250 goals, and how many goals can this guy get? And before the year goes, and we're some goals short, very rudimentary numbers. Now it's getting way more detailed and way more, and we're all trying to figure out exactly the role that it's got. But certainly, I think it's here to stay.
Last minute.
Do analytics say you signed Mike Babcock?
Anything new with Elfie?
Yeah. Anything new in the last 10 minutes? Yeah,
yeah. Anything new with Elfie?
No, Elfie would love to play again. I'm giving him all. We're giving him all the opportunity that he can. He needs to try to see if his body will allow him to play again. So, obviously, as time goes on, he needs to get some positive results from his body, but we'll see.
Finger cooking our lunch today with courtesy of Boston Pizza. Thanks again for their help with the program, and thanks to you, Kenny, for stopping by. Start of a home at home tonight on Sportsnet Ontario at 7:30. Also get Calgary, Columbus, and Vancouver, Edmonton on Sportsnet West and Sportsnet Pacific for Vancouver. Hockey Central at noon gives way to Hockey Central tonight at 7 o'clock.